This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Week one may be over, but the season's just getting started at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off week two, DraftKings is giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. Just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $200 in free bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps to get your $200 in free bets instantly this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
It's time for the Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your Thursday, 5 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. Russ LeBaire back with you. It's time for your Top 5 at 5, brought to you by Knoxville Smiles. Here once again is Jake Miller.
Number 1, Tennessee head coach Josh Heupel was at the podium for his Thursday press conference. Before questions even began, Heupel said that he doesn't have injury updates today, but he's hoping to get those by tomorrow. It's going to be crucial for the running back core and
quarterback.
Quarterback as well.
Yep. And maybe some other guys a little bit banged up. Cooper Mays, we'll see what they do there. And anybody else who's gimpy? Yes, Bear?
I would, with Cooper, he's the one out of all those where I'd leave him in the training room. I wouldn't suit him up. We don't need him to win Saturday.
Agreed.
I keep forgetting
about that.
We
definitely need our line at full strength when we go to the swamp. So.
And if it's not going to be if that's going to be a thing that he re-aggravates, which obviously we hope that's not the case, but you need Kingston Harris, Ollie Lane need all the reps they can get at guard because I feel like that's kind of a weak spot right now for Tennessee. And hopefully you slide Carvin back out and Cooper's ready to go next week at Florida, and those probably are best starting five, but if not, you might have to try some other options because it feels like Pitt kind of ate us up on the interior of the line there.
And number 2, the Colorado Rockies were set to play the Atlanta Braves tonight, but because of a soggy field, the game will not be played.
What?
Because of steady rain yesterday and a shower this morning, the game was pushed back 2 hours, but after examination of the field, it is still way too soggy to be playing baseball.
Is this in Atlanta?
Yes.
They've been getting all that rain down there. We haven't got nothing.
Right. And should be noted, the Braves are 3.5 games ahead in their division right now.
I mean, winners win. What can I say, Jake?
Number three.
Brooks Koepka is set to take the stage in the Ryder Cup coming up here in a couple weeks. And Paul Azinger had some interesting thoughts on it. He said, I'm not sure he loves the Ryder Cup that much. If he doesn't love it, then he should replenish his spot and get people in there who love it. Not everybody embraces it, but if you don't love it and you're not sold on it, then I think Brooks needs to find somewhere else to go.
Wow. So he didn't go to the whole team met up there this week for a practice round at Whistling Straits, and Koepka was the only one who didn't go. But he's got a knee injury, right, that he's been
bad on that for over a year.
I think he's banged up or whatever. So that was his excuse. I don't know. Maybe he just didn't want to be around DeChambeau.
I mean, the dude hates golf. Like, he is the best golfer ever that absolutely hates the sport.
You know,
either that or he could just be trying to get his knee in shape before the Ryder Cup, and Azinger ought to, you know, shut his mouth.
Oh! You know, Agassi hated tennis.
Russell, I hated tennis. I was a great tennis
you
player.
You weren't Andre Agassi.
Oh, get the hell out of here.
You might be better than me, Miller.
Russell, I'm going to beat you 6-0 in straights.
Outside of me.
You don't think I get a game off you?
Russell, I'm going to beat you 6-0 in straight sets.
That's not going to happen.
How much you want to bet on it, Bear?
I'll put – you're going to smoke my guy 6-0?
Yeah.
Talking a lot of noise, bumping his gums over there.
I'll bet you
– I'll eat my racket if I can't get a game off you.
Speak outside of the top 4 at 4, top 5 at 5 for a week that Russell takes a game off you.
Okay. Bet is made.
You realize Russell's never, I mean, you look at him like he's just some kind of old deal. And normally I would agree with you. Russell by far does not have the makings of a varsity athlete. It's true. He was cut from his high school tennis team. However, you're kind of large. Russ never smoked a cigarette, walks every day, very physically fit. And he's a cerebral assassin. He will do whatever it takes to win a game off you.
Mental toughness. I have no doubt. Mental toughness, Jake.
And I'm a prestigious athletic specimen from the hills of Campbell County.
Okay.
And number four, Thursday Night Football is here.
By the way, when is the Ryder Cup? Is that next week?
Who cares? Tiger's not playing.
I think it starts 23rd, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Yeah, so next week.
All right. Well, hopefully Koepka pulls it together and Paul Azinger has to. Maybe it's better to have a guy that doesn't like golf playing in those events. Maybe like the pressure won't get to him if he's not all wound up like the rest of them about, you know, the team play, match play and all that stuff.
No, he's just out there whacking a club. He's not out there thinking about it too much. He's going out there and having fun.
Maybe we need Brooks.
Or maybe not having fun. And number four, Thursday Night Football is here with the New York Giants set to take on the Washington Football Team at 8:30 tonight. The Washington Football Team comes in at a -3.5-point favorite. The odds boost on FanDuel should be noted. If the Washington Football Team and Giants combine for 41-plus points and the Giants cover 3.5, the odds are at +350.
Very nice. Go check that out over at FanDuel. And did I see where Fitzpatrick says he's not going to have surgery? He's just going to try and rehab the hip without surgery to hopefully play. They said he'll be out about 8 weeks.
What, do you have a subluxation? Did it pop out of joint?
I don't know.
Or was it fractured?
It's a dislocated hip.
Get a hip injury.
Yeah. How old's he now? Like 30? He's damn near your age, isn't he, Russ?
He's 38.
Like I said, he's damn near Russ's
age. A young man. Got his whole life ahead of him. A lot of football left in those hips.
How does that make you feel? Brady's older than you, and he's still like an elite.
I tell you, I pull for him. I want to keep going, man. Gives me hope.
All right. I don't know what number we're on, but next.
And number five, tying into the New York Giants, week one was a total disaster for him. An even bigger of a disaster for the fans. As the concessions poured out into the stadium, one person got a hot dog, squirts ketchup on his hot dog, and there are squirming maggots in the ketchup that goes onto the man's hot dog.
Squirting? What? Squirting maggots?
Squirming.
Squirming. Oh, God.
Live
dude.
Maggots.
Dude, I'm going to puke. Don't do that.
And then the PR guy from the Giants, of course, comes out. Says, we take the sanitation of our facilities extremely seriously. Upon learning well prior to kickoff Sunday that a single ketchup vessel had been compromised, we took immediate action and discarded the vessel.
The vessel? You know what they use maggots for, don't you, Russ, in medicine?
Seriously, dude, I'm not...
You're not a maggot kind of guy? All right.
I'm getting a little queasy over here, man.
I hate ketchup.
That's what you hate? Is the ketchup is the gross part of the story?
I would never put ketchup on a hot dog anyway. Like, I can't stand it. Ketchup, mustard, any of that, I can't stand.
Really?
Yeah.
You just don't like condiments in general.
Well, you just eat a plain hot dog?
Either that or
you just stick a plain wiener in your mouth?
Either that or I'll put some sriracha sauce on it. And some cheese.
That's just weird. Some slaw. Who's the top five brought to us?
Mustard and relish. Mustard and relish is the way to go on a hot dog.
Oh, I like chili mustard and onions.
That's good, too.
Maybe a little cheese if you're at the Sonic. Chili cheese, Coney.
I'll eat a Martinsville dog when I'm up there, though. That's the only time I'll eat mustard.
If I'm at UT, I will utilize both ketchup and mustard. Because, quite frankly, the ketchup and the mustard together help, you know, mask the subpar hot dog that you're eating.
As long as it doesn't have any maggots in it. Thank you, Jake. The top five at five brought to you this afternoon by our friends at Knoxville Smiles. I know there is somebody out there listening right now who has not been to the dentist in years. And if that person is you, you need to go to KnoxvilleSmiles.com and schedule your appointment. You go in there and you tell them, Russell shamed me into it, okay? They're not going to shame you. I'll shame you. I'll shame you to go in. They're going to take care of you, make you comfortable, and treat whatever problems you've accumulated because you haven't been to the dentist in a couple of years, okay? KnoxvilleSmiles.com, 865-539-1776. They do everything top of the line. Whether you're just getting your teeth scraped, the old dental cleaning, or you've got to have a tooth pulled, taken out, they can do it right there. And the way they do it now, man, it's not like it was back when we were kids and like the dentist is standing on the chair just like tugging at you with a pair of pliers. No, man, they're going to numb that thing up and make it very comfortable for you. And you won't even know that it's gone, man. That's the way they do it at Knoxville Smiles, taking care of their patients for 25 years now here in East Tennessee. Check them out, KnoxvilleSmiles.com, 865-539-1776. Tell them Fan Run sent you. Let's get Brad in here. Then we're going to pause for the cause so we can get our boy Josh Pate from 247sports.com on the show with us this afternoon. Hello, Brad.
Hey, Russ.
What's up?
What's up, Bear?
What's going on, buddy?
Hey, man, I think, Barry, you need to facilitate this little tennis tournament with with you boys here. You know, there's tennis courts right behind Rickard Ridge. I say we all meet at Rickard Ridge and eat a rack of ribs and go play some tennis.
Let's play tennis and then go eat the rack of ribs.
That's probably the better way to do that. But yeah.
That's where I learned to play.
It can be arranged.
We're not playing it on his home court. Sorry, buddy. Sorry, Brad.
You got to come to my turf, the mean streets of West Knoxville, man.
Yeah.
Barry, you could feed the ducks, Bear, while they play tennis. All kinds of stuff.
We'll go up to the racket club. They got those clay courts up there, easy on an old man's knees.
Oh, no.
What's the matter? You scared? Yeah. You scared?
I'm okay on clay.
I'm okay on clay. The hell out of here.
Hey, Russ, did Hopple say anything about Tom Evans today? And I didn't get to listen to his press conference.
He did not. Apparently, he said he wasn't going to talk about injuries before, so he didn't talk about Milton, didn't talk about Tyon Evans either.
So, I mean, is an injury same as having COVID or contact traced or what? I mean, what was he hurt or did he have COVID?
No, he was contact traced, or he was in some type of COVID protocol. They never said exactly what.
I thought the injury report and that was two different things. Okay, that's really all I had. See you guys.
Thank you, Brad. Appreciate the phone call. I'm going to take a quick break right now. When we continue, Josh Pate of the Late Kick joins the festivities. We're going to get his thoughts on Tennessee and the start to the Heupel era. We'll also probe his mind about the USC job and what he thinks they ought to do out there on the left coast. Stay with us. It's The Drive. It's Fan Run Radio. We're going to take a quick timeout. Back with more right after this. Fan Run Radio. The Drive continues. Russell LeBaire back with you on a Thursday afternoon edition of the show. Let's get Josh Pate from 247 Sports and the Late Kick in here on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Good afternoon, Josh. How are you, sir?
I'm good. And I want to say it three times because I know you have a lot of people come on and say I'm good. And I just want to stand out above the crowd just a little bit, so I hope that helped.
Wow. Three times as good. Josh Pate on the show here this afternoon, and we are rolling, looking forward to week three of college football, the third proper week of college football as we get started this weekend. And Josh, we've already had the first domino of the coaching carousel fall. USC job opens up. Not a huge surprise there that happened. Maybe a surprise that it happened so soon. Your thoughts on what's going on down there in Southern Cal?
I've always struggled with something at the very end of what you said. How are we supposed to geographically refer to California? Is it out there? Is it down there? Is it over there? Like, if we took a poll of the audience, what would they say?
Not over there. I would say out there. Out there comes that seems best for somebody in East Tennessee.
Okay, so let's talk about what's going on out there.
Yes.
out there, I am stopping even before we start listing candidates, which I know is the immediate go-to. Everyone wants a hot board. Everyone wants the 1.0, 2.0, 3.0. I get all that, and eventually we're going to get there. But my first reaction when it happened was really the same way I felt back in 2016 at that LSU-Auburn game when LSU won, then they lost, and it was overturned, and Les Miles gets fired. I was there, and I remember being around Joe Oliva, the athletic director that night. I was around Les Miles. I was around his wife. It was very uncomfortable. And for obvious reasons, because everyone knew what was coming. But my thought that night was the same thing I got the other day, and that was there's nothing through four games Les Miles just showed these people they didn't already know about him. Just like there's nothing through two games Clay Helton showed USC that they didn't already know about him. Now, I know a lot of people have said that, but I'm speaking about it within the context of the next head coach. So let's pretend like you and I are a premier candidate for this job. Everyone driving around listening, pretend you're a premier candidate. You've got options. You can go anywhere you want to. If those folks called you up and offered you this job, even if you were attracted to USC, would you not have to take a long look knowing you have to have administrative buy-in top to bottom to compete with the Alabamas and Ohio States of the world and say, do I really want to be working under people who were that misguided, who allowed themselves to get into another season and get a couple of games in before they realized they needed to make a move? Because to me, that reeks of the same kind of indecisiveness they had at LSU back then. In case people don't remember, it wasn't too long after Miles was out that Joe Oliva was out down there. And I'm wondering what the future holds administratively for USC, because you can go out there and win. Absolutely you can. But you can't do it if the entire freight train's not moving the same direction the way it is at the places you want to compete against. So before we throw a James Franklin or a Luke Fickle or anyone out there, I wonder, I asked this the other night, and I still don't really know the answer to it. I wonder if you were to walk in and you were to ask the folks making the decisions out there, define USC for me, I don't really think they could do it effectively. They'd probably use a bunch of cliches and alphabet soup, but they really couldn't tell you what the core of USC is, unlike the folks at Arkansas. The folks at Arkansas, before they brought Sam Pittman in, it was very clear they defined what Arkansas was, and they went and found a dude who was Arkansas. You got to be able to define it before you can identify the characteristics in the person. I don't know that USC can do that right now. What if Luke Fickle is a great coach, but he's cut out with Midwestern values and sort of a family guy? He's got six kids, I think. What if he's perfectly cut out for the Midwest and jobs in the Midwest, but he's not cut out for life on the West Coast? Like, you can't just look at someone's win and loss resume. It's more complicated than that in the sport of college football. In the NFL, it's different. But in college, people overlook culture. They say it in passing because it's on their note cards, but they overlook it. And it's critical in hiring practices.
Well, speaking from a place that knows a thing or two about how administrational incompetence can really screw over your fan base, we have a little bit of expertise here in East Tennessee, Josh, and it can get dark in a hurry and for a long time, unfortunately. How would you describe USC football and what it ought to be?
I don't know. That's kind of the catch 22, because I am not of USC.
Yeah.
I've been out there a couple of times, but that's about it. I'll tell you this, though. I've been out there about as often as some of the folks that they are lining up to interview, apparently. But I don't know. But see, the difference, I think, in me and some of the folks that are going to end up making some decisions out there is I'm smart enough to know what I don't know. A lot of those folks out there couldn't really care less. They think you've seen one athletic department, you've seen them all. You know, the football is shaped the same way no matter which conference you're playing in. Well, that's true, but the culture's not. And what works in Fayetteville, Arkansas may not work in Los Angeles, California. I know that's the most obvious statement that we have uttered on these airwaves so far in 2021, but that's the case. I don't know. I don't know what the critical factors would be. I hope they do know.
I remember talking to the offensive line coach at Tennessee back, you know, this is 15 years or so ago when they were still good. Tennessee had a center here named Josh McNeil, who's a highly touted guy that they want to recruiting battle against USC for, and he had committed to Tennessee, and he took his official visit to USC. He committed to Tennessee, and after he had signed, the coach was talking, and he was asked about, were you worried when Josh McNeil went out to USC? And he just laughed and go, nah, I knew Josh wasn't a USC kind of guy. This guy was real country, you know. And so it's always struck me as they need a little star power, a little swagger. You know, Kiffin had it, but for obvious reasons didn't work out. Pete Carroll had it. I don't know who out there has the kind of star appeal, the West Coast sensibilities, if you will, that could A, would take the job, and B, could succeed there.
Yeah, when they throw the name James Franklin around, I'm not claiming knowledge of it, but when they throw the name around, he's always struck me as the kind of personality that would be good out there. But at the same time, I don't know how much validity or stock I really put into his name, only because, I mean, if my local high school job came open, you'd hear James Franklin's name. His agent is great at that. So you never really know whether to take it serious. I always, my default setting for James Franklin is don't take it serious and just allow yourself to be shocked when he takes a job elsewhere. If you can find someone in the mold of a Lane Kiffin, that may turn you off if you are, for obvious reasons, at Tennessee, but it may turn you off elsewhere. That is the kind of guy who would really shine out there. Now, it would be one of the most wild stories in college football history if they were to come calling for him. that would be – I don't even know if he checked every box of theirs. If you put just question marks over every candidate's face and did a blind resume test and there was one 10 out of 10 match, and then you remove the question mark and it's Lane Kiffin, even then I don't know if they would hire him. Maybe there's some random coordinator out there. It doesn't always have to be a premier name.
The Kiffin thing is so weird because you're right. It doesn't seem like that's a thought that they would even entertain for a second, bringing him back. Meanwhile, the job he left to go there, here, I mean, there's a significant portion of our fan base, a lot of people who would gladly kick poor Josh Heupel to the curb right now to get Lane Kiffin back here tomorrow.
It's why you never say never. Like, if you're a pro wrestling fan, one of the most famous sayings of that industry is just never say never. Well, you never say never in the coaching world either. I think there may be a little bit more of a governor on it than pro wrestling, but not much sometimes. But it's funny. It's why I learned a while back, don't laugh at predictions in college football, whether it's a game or a conference race or if you're predicting coaches. Because if you look at the way things ultimately play out over any five-year cycle, if you're 5 years before any given year and you were to look at 2021, let's say, and you were to say, if someone in 2016 said the very reality that 2021 is, how stupid would they have looked? How hard would they have been laughed at? That'll always be the case. There's always stuff that would have been laughed at 5 years ago that ends up coming true. So that's the whole Lane Kiffin protocol for me. I would never say never.
Well, and it kind of reminds me of these coaching job rankings that are going around. I'm sure you've seen the Athletic and a couple of other things that have been out there. We're visiting with Josh Pate, 247sports.com, this afternoon on the show. And, you know, the thing that strikes me, Josh, is I think about it, you know, from a Tennessee perspective, and obviously Tennessee's job is not going to show up on those lists anytime soon, anywhere near the top of them anyway. But when I look at Clemson, for instance, they're in the top 10 and fine. You know, they've got a couple national championships. Dabo has turned that into a great job. But if you hop in Doc Brown's time machine and go not too far in the distant past, you know, 15 years ago, Tennessee is probably looked at as a top 10 job by many college football analysts, and Clemson isn't. It just goes to show you how quickly these things can change, right?
That is absolutely right. And the article you're referencing, I've really done a dereliction of duty by not reading it already, because I've had so many people ask me about it and so many buddies text me about it. But I have not opened it up because I've seen some of the quotes from it. And there was just some ignorance in that thing. I mean, I know it's people's opinions and they're coaches, so they should be more connected. But some of the insinuations or outright suggestions made there were ridiculous. But go back to the two programs you're talking about there right now. Not only, if we hit the rewind button 10 or 15 years, would Tennessee be viewed as easily the better job than Clemson? I got news for folks. So would South Carolina. 10 years ago, Steve Spurrier was there, and he was in the midst of that run with Jadeveon Clowney and all those in-state guys. They had just beaten Alabama in 2010. It wasn't even a question about who ran that state. It wasn't a question about which the better job was. And if you think about it, it's not like Clemson hit a literal lottery since then. It's not like a T. Boone Pickens walked in and just started writing blank checks. They got the hire right. And that's why when you look at Arkansas or you look at Tennessee, like a lot of people at Tennessee, if things go off the rails, the reaction is going to be, well, now what? Well, where do we go from here? Well, the answer is you just go to the next guy. That's what Clemson did. They just went to the next guy. They happened to get it right. But the thing about it is, if you think back, you know, to all the times it went wrong for Arkansas, I keep using them because they're a very convenient reference point right now. You know, it wasn't that long ago. It was a couple of years ago. They were getting housed by Western Kentucky in their own building. Well, anyone who watched that Arkansas game the other night, where they just wood-chippered Texas for four quarters, and you watched those folks rush the field, did it look like anyone was tempering their celebration and saying, well, it's hard to get too excited because, boy, that Western Kentucky loss just ruined it for me? No, no one thinks like that. It doesn't matter how many times you fail as long as you ultimately get it right. I know we want it right now, but once you finally get it right, and they will get it right at Tennessee eventually, celebrations will be all the more worthwhile because of what's happened to go through. In this case, an outright bullet go through and get there.
Hey, Josh, you're breaking up on us a little bit there. We'll try this again here as we visit with Josh Pate, 247sports.com this afternoon. Josh, just sort of looking ahead towards the weekend, a big matchup, and correct me if I'm wrong, are you going to be in Happy Valley for Auburn-Penn State this weekend? All right, see if we can reconnect with him real quick, Jake. We'll wrap things up as we visit with Josh Pate of the Late Kick. Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Bear. I always go back to Dabo and the Tennessee job. 2008, right? That was the year they fired Tommy Bowden. And the three jobs that were open that year, it was Tennessee, Washington, and Clemson.
And Clemson.
All three jobs were open. And Lane Kiffin was the bell of the ball, the hot candidate that everybody wanted. And he had his pick of those three. All three schools were interested and interviewed him. He chose Tennessee. It was the best job at the time. We might be the third job. We might even be behind Washington right now. But that just shows you, I mean, that was 13 years ago. Obviously, things can change quickly. Do we have him back? No? Okay. Tell you what,
it's like Josh said, it really jumped out at me. You know, it's going wrong until you make the right hire.
Mm. We will take a quick break. We will see if we could get reconnected with him. I think we're having a phone issue here at the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. We might have to jiggle the handle a little bit to get going again here. Stay tuned. We'll see if we can get it done. Coming up next here on Fan Run Radio. All right, back here on The Drive, it's Fan Run Radio. Let's wrap up with Josh Pate real quickly. Had a phone issue there. Josh, are you with us?
I was scared, man. I was scared it was so much more than phone issues. You guys okay?
We're fine. Thanks for asking. We had a slight phone issue here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, but sometimes we just got to jiggle the handle and get this thing going again, get that little gerbil turning in the wheel again. It's modern radio. Do not try this at home. Ladies and gentlemen.
I understand it. Trust me. When I was at WIOL ESPN 1580 down in Columbus, we had a little situation there, too. It was called no climate control, and there was no air circulation. And so this time of year, really like probably March through October in rural Georgia, it is brutal. And so you just sit there, and you would ruin your shirt sweating through it. So a little phone issue was the least of our concerns down there.
Oh, we had this summer here at Fan Run, the hottest day of the year. It was like 99 degrees, felt like 107 outside, and the air conditioner went out. And
you guys are soft.
Jake and I are sitting here. We did the show. We're in here. I'm not ashamed to admit, with my pants off. the only time that's happened. Hopefully the only time that ever will happen again. But the show must go on. Josh, just wrapping up here with you. We appreciate you working with us here this afternoon. Am I reading this correctly on your timeline? You are going to Happy Valley this week for Penn State Auburn?
Man, I can't wait. I mean, think about a little boy that has grown up wearing nothing but a white T-shirt every single day, including on air. I don't even change. I look like a flood victim on air, too. And they hold an event where 110,000 people are going to voluntarily dress like you to make you feel at home. How do you not go? Even if the company would not pay my way, I would pay my own way up there to be a part of this.
So the white T-shirt thing, I see the videos. That's just your thing. I thought that was like just for your show thing, but you've been that way since before.
Yeah, I have. Well, partly because I'm cheap, but I figured we needed to have something better than that. And so I wanted to do sort of a reverse Johnny Cash thing. We needed a man in white at some point. And so I'm happy to be that person. I then started flirting with Haynes in the off season. Excuse me, I don't say the off season. The time between spring and fall. And man, I thought I was going to get him on board. Like, that's my dream partnership with Fruit of the Loom or Haynes or someone like that.
Okay.
I would shout that partnership from the mountaintop. Instead, I got hooked up with our friends at Academy Sports, so that works out well too. But yeah, that's been my thing since long before I got here.
All right, man. What does Auburn have to do to have a chance this weekend in what should be a raucous atmosphere at Penn State?
I think they've got to get the kind of effort out of Tank Bigsby that Alabama got a couple times out of Derrick Henry. One of those 35-plus rushing attempts kinds of games. You cannot let Bo Nix be putting the ball in the air. I think there have been too many case studies about what happens when you do that. And if they're even halfway decent at self-scouting, they know that at Auburn. And so I think the first time that one of those teams, one of those running games, gets a two-score lead, if they do, even if it's 10-0, that feels almost insurmountable in a game that's going to be sort of a rock fight. It forces the other guy to throw the ball. And when the ball's in the air on Saturday night, it's going to make everyone sort of tense up, because it's not going to feel like it's going to end well. You've seen Sean Clifford turn the ball over. You've seen Bo Nix turn the ball over. This kind of game is so hard to forecast, because even though you can't predict turnovers, you just feel so adamant that they're coming. You just don't know which side is going to disproportionately impact. But I do think there are marginal advantages Penn State has along too many areas in this game to where I went with them, and I actually went with them to cover, but I feel more comfortable just going under 53 or whatever that number's at right now.
What a great non-conference matchup for college football. Josh, enjoy the trip up there. Sounds like a blast. Appreciate you hanging on through the break there with us at Josh Pate 24/7 Sports. Go follow him at Late Kick Josh. Josh, thanks so much.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
Josh Pate making his presence felt on the G3 Help Me hotline this afternoon. Bear, what did you learn?
A lot of different things, but I mean, it's something that we've talked about. You more than anybody else. It's not like me to pat you on the back ever in all seriousness, but it's something you've said. You know, the current guy we have doesn't work out. I mean, we'll go on to the next one. Everything, you know, I can't remember exactly how Josh phrased it, but you know, everything's wrong until you make the right hire, and it has a way of fixing itself pretty quick. You know, Dabo, I mean, he was what, the receivers coach? He was just the last man standing down there. What, they name him the interim? And they just looked around and was like, well, just give it to him.
Just give it to him. We'll ride with Dabo. And I mean,
credit to him.
He floundered for a while. I mean, they gave him time.
Remember when was it Clemsoning?
Yes.
When they'd blow games?
Oh, it made him so mad. Remember that press conference he did before they won any national championships? And he was doing his Mike Gundy take it to the media routine.
Yeah. So, but I mean, he surrounded himself with an elite staff from coordinators down to position coaches and recruiters, and hasn't looked back. I think Tennessee gifted him.
Oh, that's Pittman's done down at Arkansas. You know, he got the is Kendall Briles there? I always get them mixed
up.
Yeah,
he's got Kendall Briles as his OC and Barry Odom's his damn DC. And he knows enough to stay out of the way. And from everything I've ever heard about him from people that know him and played for him, is he's an unbelievable motivator of young men. And kids play their asses off for him. So it's no big surprise that he's successful. So
we are the guy, the Gump, who wanted to coach everything. He wanted to call all the plays, offense, defense, special teams. And he made everybody miserable.
I mean, we hired a guy that couldn't figure out how to put a gator on to cover his face during a global pandemic.
Cornbread.
I mean, it just boggles the mind. I don't even know if I'd want to hear the audio from that job interview with those two brain surgeons. Fulmer and Pruitt.
Did
they talk about?
It really does seem like, obviously, Heupel's in charge of the offense. It seems like Eckler is the guy on special teams. I've seen a couple of videos. One of the girls from, I believe, WATE was on the sideline, and she released like a cut of him. I think it was after the blocked punt. Like, he's the guy down there calling all the shots on special teams. And then
he also, I noticed, was near Heupel a lot throughout the game.
Yeah.
Whenever they would show the sidelines. So, and it seems like, what's his name?
Banks.
Coach Banks.
You need to learn the defensive coordinator's name, Bear.
Well, Tim Banks. I was wanting to call him Tim Smith for some reason. I knew that wasn't it. I thought it was Coach Banks.
Yeah.
So
I have the same thing.
I've been pleasantly surprised with what he's done so far.
And Roberto is ready to build the statue. An hour or two?
Yeah, I'm not that far. I mean, we still gave up a lot of points this past Saturday, but you know, in Coach Banks' defense, it's not like he's got a whole lot of bullets in the gun right now. I mean, this is by far, I would imagine this is not a top 10 defensive line that Rodney Garner's been around.
I thought it was interesting. Heupel was talking about, he said, if he had to guess, we probably were the thinnest team in the country because of all the guys we lost. I counted 75 scholarship players this morning. I went through the whole roster. I counted 75 for sure scholarship players. Then there's 3 to 5 guys that, like Dane Davis, Kwazi right. Garland, guys that were, you know, former walk-ons who've been awarded scholarships. I'm not sure how that works if they're like year
to year.
Well,
then out of that, we were down, what, by the end of the game, 8? Was it 8 starters out of your 75 scholarship players?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Well, and the thing I wonder is if they do away with the 25 rule, can we should be able to make that up. We should be able to be at 85. We might have to sign 30 guys. They might be a lot freshmen, but we should be able to get to that 85 scholarship limit really quick.
What'll be interesting for me on that is what are they going to do to address, because there's going to be schools, Alabama, that are going to process guys, and I mean, what are they going to do about tampering?
Well, that's why the rule went in the first place. But because remember, it was the Houston Nutt rule, right? I mean, he was the guy. He went to Ole Miss and signed like 35 guys in a class. I'm pretty sure that was the guy.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, I have no doubt that
sure,
you know, Saban won't run off scholarship players and then just go cherry pick off, you know, whoever, wherever he finds them, he'll go cherry pick them.
I go back to what I said yesterday. We can't worry about Saban in Alabama. They're gonna do
yeah,
what
but it's not just them. I mean, it's the,
well, it's us too. I mean, I don't know, it's like if you've got a guy on your roster and he's just eating up a scholarship and you know he's not gonna play, like, what are we doing here? I mean, I'm sorry, but that scholarship is valuable.
Yeah. My problem is going to be when we've got – they're going to have to – you know, it's I've got a feeling it's going to be like the wild, wild west. It's going to be kind of lawless until everything shakes out.
College football?
NCAA and
no.
College football.
What are we going
to
do?
To keep people from – you know, just – it's never been like this, Russ. I mean, our best linebacker for the past couple of years is starting in
Alabama.
Well,
we've decided we don't care anymore. And I say we, just the college football establishment, fans, players, coaches, administrators, we don't care anymore. There are no more rules.
I mean, there's not caring, and then there's got to be some kind of framework
of
rules and fairness.
I agree.
And they're going to have to at some point address parity if you're going to go to this quasi-semi-pro model that we're on now.
Well, how do you do that?
I don't know. I mean, 20 years from now, we're going to be looking at a draft. Laugh now.
A college football draft? No.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're not going to be able to. I mean, Alabama's not going to be able to. And I don't think they will once Saban's gone. I've got to find it. I meant to send it to you last night, but
I was still
in such a horrible, horrible mood from yesterday. That I just was incommunicado, but I saw something. Somebody basically said, you know, that once Saban leaves Alabama, they'll return back down to earth like the rest of the, you know.
I believe that. You?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm really starting to. I mean, they've just been a nightmare for us for so long.
Well, that was
now.
What one of the guys said in that Athletic article that was ranking
maybe,
the coaching
maybe that
jobs.
Was the excerpt
as he said, from it. Yeah, he said that once Saban retires, there's going to be all the political infighting and, you know, people vying for power and access that characterized that job before he got there. And he's just the only one, I guess, that's been powerful and influential enough to rise above all that.
How sweet will the meltdown be when they finally do? Because nothing lasts forever. I mean, it's like George said, all things
must pass. Even cold November rain.
I mean, how sweet is it going to be when they finally have their big meltdown? Just a shower in Alabama salty tears. I hate them so much, Russ. I mean, I really wouldn't have a problem if we excommunicated them from the United States. Just kicked them out.
Can we relegate an entire state? Sorry, you're in Mexico now until you learn your lesson. Maybe you can bounce back up.
Can we keep the beaches?
No,
we got other beaches, Miller. It'll be all right. Folks, after a thrilling opening week to the NFL, week two is here. The fridge is fully stocked. The recliner is ready. Now all you got to do is log into FanDuel Sportsbook and claim your risk-free bet. That's right, FanDuel giving all customers a risk-free bet for week two of the NFL season. What do you like? What do you like, fellas? How about my Titans, a 6.5-point underdog on the road in Seattle this week? Can we cover? Can we win? Be tempted to take the money line there, +245 if you're really feeling the Titans. Of course, you got that Chiefs-Ravens game Sunday night. 3.5-point favorites are the Chiefs on the road. Might like the over there, 54.5. What do we have? Is that an over game, Jake?
I think so.
If the weather's nice in Baltimore, I think so.
It's a possibility.
Make your bet. Whatever you think it is, you want to put together a same-game parlay, you want to play the props, you can do it all at FanDuel. Use our promo code DRIVE1 and receive that risk-free bet up to $1,000 back, even if you don't win. That's promo code DRIVE1 for FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. When we continue, the shocking conclusion of the drive. Speak now, forever hold your peace. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the G3 Help Me hotline. Back to wrap things up after this. Wrapping up. Final segment of the drive brought to you this afternoon by our good friend Les Turner over at Right Approach Financial. Folks, you got any questions about financial planning, investing, saving for retirement? Call Les for a free consultation. He's over there at Right Approach Financial. Vol fan, been in business here in East Tennessee for a long time. And you need somebody that you can trust with your money, somebody who's going to give you really good, sound financial advice that's not going to get you in any sort of trouble at all. They're going to help you build your retirement savings so that you can have that great retirement that we all dream of. Les Turner can do that. It's never too soon. It's never too late to start planning. Give him a call at 865-498-3047. It's 498-3047. RightApproachFinancial.com is the website. Wrapping up this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, a fascinating story I was reading during the break here. A bioscience and genetics company has announced plans to de-extinct what extinct animal? Yet they're going full Jurassic Park, folks, trying to bring back an extinct animal.
The woolly mammoth.
I know what it is.
Jake got it.
Woolly mammoth?
Yes. The woolly mammoth ready to make a comeback.
I don't know if that's such a good idea.
You saw the movie, right? I mean, it didn't go well.
Well, I mean, it's just a bad idea to
play God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
where do you draw the line? We got to,
we're cloning people.
Bring back next.
That's terrible.
What do you want to bring
you
back?
Remember when UT cloned the sheep? Nah.
Yeah. We've already cloned sheep. We're basically cloning people, right?
Probably. God, what if Alabama figures out how to clone Saban?
Yeah, we need to stop all this right now.
Our nightmare would never end.
some idiot scientist in a trailer park someday. You know what? We got this thing. You ever see that show Futurama? We just put his head in a tank. All we really need is his brain. We just put some sort of robot thing underneath there, have a 150-year-old Saban out there winning natties every single year. Let's do it, man. Get the scientists on it.
Roll down tide.
The Dolphins had let him had just let him have Drew Brees instead of
who knows?
Who was it? Culpepper?
Who knows what
Dante?
What would have happened, yeah.
Yeah, Alabama might still be. I mean, I don't think they'd be even during their 100-year lull, they still won an SEC championship. I mean, that's what you have to keep in mind with Alabama. But, you know, we lose to Georgia State.
The company Colossal said in a press release it will support research to create an elephant-mammoth hybrid genetically engineered with traits to help it survive in the Arctic.
I mean, maybe they ought to spend some of that time, effort, and money into the animals that aren't extinct surviving in the Arctic right now. I mean, the rapidly shrinking glaciers and sea ice are, if you look at the projections on how much longer we're going to have polar bears, not looking good for the polar bears.
Well, that's what they say is the according to this release, restoring the woolly mammoth, quote, has the potential to revitalize the Arctic grasslands, which has major climate change combating properties, including carbon sequestering, methane suppression, and light reflection. How about that?
Well,
how about that?
I'll have to do some research.
You have to do your research. There you go.
We do our research. Hey. Have you done your research?
Speaking of which, I'm terrified I'm going to forget about this. Did you see, did you watch Butch's press conference from the other day?
Butch Jones's press conference at Arkansas State? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. Dude, he's still talking about eye discipline, bro.
Okay.
He's still playing
the hits. You need to let it go. That's not healthy. You're watching Butch's Arkansas State press conferences on a game week.
I really just follow a couple Arkansas State writers, and then you get the gist of it on Twitter. But, yeah, they post the
– he's not the only one that said that. Pruitt talked about eye discipline. That's a thing most coaches talk about.
Pruitt's got the IQ of a rock in my mom's rock garden.
Cornbread.
Where do you think he got it?
I don't know, but Butch had it before he went to Alabama.
You got to let it go, dude. It's not healthy, Bear. I'm just picturing sit there on your phone late at night, lights are out, you're in bed, and just doing that last glance at the phone thing. And all of a sudden, a Butch Jones press conference comes up, and like Bear just jumps out of bed just in a blind rage, turns on all the lights, and then spends the next 4 hours just stewing.
And we should have made the playoffs in 15. That was a playoff team, Russ. Are you going to deny that we had playoff? We had Alvin Kamara, one of the most dynamic players to hit the league in the past 15 years.
He was good at football.
I don't know if you're aware of this. Still really good at football, Alvin Kamara.
Boys, this seems like a good jumping off point.
I find it hard to believe that you don't watch. If you saw it on Twitter, you aren't.
I've not seen
play.
maybe I haven't seen one yet. Please don't send them to me. Don't need it.
I'll send them to you.
Don't need it in my life. Thank you, Bear. Thank you, Jake.
Thank you, Ross.
I'll kick your ass in tennis, son.
You will not.
Hour number four of the drive. We call it overtime. Coming up next, Will Stevens and friends taking you into the evening right here on Fan Run Radio.